2 Kings chapter 5. We're introduced to Naaman in verse 1 of 2 Kings 5, where we read, "Now Naaman, captain of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man with his master, highly respected. Because of him, the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man was also a valiant warrior, but he was a leper." This man's resume was impeccable. Everything about him said success. Like a five-star general, he led the army, and he was very successful in battle. They viewed him as a great man. He was highly regarded in society. All of us, when reading Naaman's resume, would conclude this man was a success. Anything anyone would strive to be, this man had already become. And everybody knew it because he had a reputation worth emulating. If you were to look at his life, it would be easy for you to think or to say, "I want to be like him." But after we have been given all of these accolades about Naaman, we're given a footnote about him. The word "but." There was this one thing that was messing up everything else. It says, "But he was a leper." Leprosy in biblical days was a skin disease. It was a disease of the skin that slowly spread, bringing about lesions, sores, and ultimately deformity and death. For leprosy was an incurable disease. In spite of his education, he's a leper. In spite of his notoriety, he's a leper. In spite of his financial success, he's a leper. In spite of rewards, plaques, accolades, and recognition, he's a leper. Because leprosy affected all of you, things are popping out on your skin, they're eating your skin away, slowly and surely, you know something's wrong with him. It not only affected Naaman physically because of the breakouts all over his skin that was eating his flesh alive, it affected him relationally because leprosy was a communicable disease. It was contagious. So if you got too close to him, you could catch it. And so you were, as the disease progressed, you had to stay away from him so you would not also become a leper. That meant he couldn't interact normally with his family or friends. After a while, it would be too dangerous. And that's why you even see in the Mosaic Law, when a person with leprosy came around, they were told to say, "Unclean, unclean." They were castaways after a point because they were dangerous. This man was a leper. Something so wrong that it messed up everything that was so right. And there was no cure. It was incurable. So he is both simultaneously a captain, a conqueror, and a castaway. Most importantly, leprosy is tied to something going wrong spiritually. This man, with everything right, has one thing wrong messing up all that is right. What is your leprosy? What is that one thing in your life that is messing up all the good stuff going for you? Maybe you're successful in your career or with your finances or with your educational achievements. Maybe you can hand out a resume that is impressive, but there's that one thing that you dare not put on it. Because it's just messing you up. It's keeping you up at night. You cannot function like you should be able to function. Because there is this leprosy, this incurable situation you can't fix. That was Naaman's reality. That was his scenario. He had the but phrase, but he was a leper. The footnote on his life, affecting everything. Well, we're told in verse 2 that in one of his battles, he captured a little slave girl. The slave girl from Israel went to Naaman's wife, her mistress, verse 3, and says, I wish that my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, that he would cure him of his leprosy. She told Naaman's wife, if we could get your husband, my boss, down to Israel to the prophet, Elisha, I believe Elisha could change his leprosy situation. I just want to say a brief word about this nameless girl. We're told she's a little girl. So she's a little girl and she's a slave. So that's not somebody you would normally listen to. But she knew somebody who knew God. See, when you're in an impossible, incurable, unfixable, non-changeable situation in your life, you better find somebody who knows somebody, who can hook you up with somebody, who can turn around the situation in your life. She was a little girl. She was a nobody in terms of her position in life and her age in life, but she knew somebody. She had a hookup and a connection that could change this man's world and this man's life. So Naaman goes to his boss, the king, and says, this little girl told my wife, who told me that I may be able to get my problem solved by the prophet in Israel. So the king, watch this, the king of Aram, verse 5 says, go now and I'm going to send a letter to the king of Israel. He departed, he took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, 10 changes of clothes, brought them to the king of Israel. And he says, I've sent Naaman, my servant, verse 6, to you that you may cure him of his leprosy. Well, wait a minute. That's not what the little girl said. The little girl said, there's a prophet in Israel that can cure his leprosy. The problem is, Naaman went to the federal government. Naaman went to the king and says, king, government, I hear there's a solution in Israel. What you think? The government said, king said, I'm going to give you some money and we're going to throw a budgetary solution to the problem. We're going to fund your deliverance. And so she gave him over $1 million, if you would put it in today's dollars, 10 changes of clothes, and we're going to buy your solution. You better have somebody in your life. They may not have name and they may not have notoriety. A little slave girl who knows somebody, who knows somebody, who is able to bring you to a divine deliverance, because we've already said leprosy was incurable. If he could have fixed it, it would have been fixed. If you could have fixed it, it would have been fixed. So he uses power, government. He uses money to solve the problem. So the king sends to the king of Israel and tells the king of Israel, I'm paying you off to fix my captain's problem. How does the king of Israel respond? Verse 7. When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, am I God to kill and make alive? Because it was a life and death sentence, leprosy. That this man is sending word for me to cure a man of his leprosy. But consider now and see how he is seeking a quarrel against me. He read that letter and said, come on, man. You got to be kidding me. My God, I can cure this man. He's seeking a quarrel against me. The only reason this man sent me this letter is he's trying to pick a fight. Because he know I can't cure anybody. Throwing money at it, throwing power at it, throwing clout at it. I can't cure an incurable disease. If you've been throwing money at your problem, you've been getting all the people with the clout, the notoriety, the designations, the degrees to solve your dilemma, and nothing has changed, you done gone to the wrong folk. Watch this. A slave girl had the solution. A nobody had the solution. But Naaman's getting all tricked up by getting impressed with that which is impressive. Money, power, clout, influence. While Elijah hears about the king tearing his clothes because Naaman went to the king at the instruction of his master because his master is listening or has the wrong approach. And Elijah tells the king of Israel, send Naaman to me. Send him to me. Okay, so now it's going to get gooder. I mean, it's real good. Verse 9, so Naaman came with his horses and his chariots and stood at the house of Elisha. He knocks on Elisha's door. Uh-oh, verse 10. Elisha sent a messenger saying, go wash in the Jordan 7 times and your flesh will be restored to you and you will be clean. Houston, we have a problem. We have some issues going on here. And the issue is explained to us in verse 11. But Naaman was furious, ticked off, mad, and went away and said, behold, I thought, I'm coming back to that, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand, hocus pocus, over the place and cure the leprosy. The end of verse 12 says he went away in a rage. Because he said, are not Abinah and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? Turned away, ticked off. Stay with me here. He comes up knocking on the door. This is captain of the army of Aram, with all kind of money and all kind of clothes to offer. I thought he would come out here and talk to me himself. Doesn't he know who I am? Doesn't Elijah know who I am? I am not just Naaman. I'm Captain Naaman. Elijah, you don't know who you're dealing with here. Don't let your reputation destroy your deliverance. Don't let who you think you are or who you are out there get in the way of God doing for you what he wants to do. See, some of us are too big to be delivered. See, we think because we got this in front of our name, we're a doctor, we're a lawyer, we're a business person, we got a BA, an MA, a MBA, a PhD. We got some money in the bank and folk know our name. God ought to do something with you. No, Naaman, right now, right here, you a leper. Let's don't get this confused. The only reason you here is because you messed up, boy. Don't bring your title into this location. Because in this location, you somebody on your way to the grave. Now is the time to leave your title outside, your degrees outside, your bank account pride outside, and you better come in here and be willing to submit yourself to divine authority. Many people who go to church are too professional for God to help. Many people come to church have been too educated for God to help, and you got too much money for God to deliver you. The Bible makes it clear in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 and 6, that you must humble yourself under the mighty hand of God in order to see God work. When you go to your doctor because you are sick, your title don't mean anything. When you have cancer, your title doesn't mean anything. When you got kidney failure, no, you're a sick person in need of a good doctor. All that title stuff is irrelevant. When you come into the house of God, praise God for your educational achievements. Praise God for your career notoriety. Praise God if he's blessed you with money in the bank. Nothing wrong with that. But when you come into the house of God, you're a sinner in need of a savior, and you are a saint in need of grace. God doesn't deny the fact that he's blessed us, but he never expected that to make you think you are more than you really are. Because, you know, the world can give you the impression that you're more than you really are. When you get a title, when you get some prestige, when you get some success, when you're a sports star, when you're an entertainer, when you're all that's fine as long as you keep it in its place. So what God will do sometimes is put you in a situation that is incurable. But he was a leper. To let you know, you ain't all that and a bag of chips. He had to humble himself. He said, see, that's the problem. He says, I thought. It's called leaning to your own understanding. It's called throwing your human opinion at God. It's called pride. Because what you thought didn't happen the way you... Have you ever told your kids to do something and then they say, but I think... My daddy used to tell me, hey, I don't pay you to think. In fact, I don't even want to know what you thought. No, he lost sight of who he was. He wanted to bring his prestige when he's a leper. He says, there are two rivers in Damascus, verse 12. They got these two rivers in Damascus, and they got clean water. I got clean water in Damascus. These two rivers are very clean, and there are orchards that grow up around the river, nice trees that grow up around the river, because the flow of the river and the cleanliness of the water is breeding life all around it. So he says, I thought, if I got to do this water thing, I can go to those two, because the Jordan is dirty and muddy. Jordan is dirty and muddy. Doesn't Elijah know who I am? Wait a minute, Naaman, let's get something straight. Didn't you come here because you dirty? I mean, you got all this pus coming out your skin. You got all these sores on under skin. You came here because you dirty. So watch this. You came here dirty, but you want a comfortable, convenient solution. You came in messed up, but you want something. When you go to the hospital, you go to the hospital because you want them to make you better, but the process of making you better can get a little messy. surgery, you know, bleeding and needles and all that. The process of changing you can get a little messy. The reason why Naaman had issues with the Jordan is because he didn't understand the Jordan. See, for him, it was a dirty river. But for Elisha, it was the place where God did miracles. It was Joshua with the priest stepping in the Jordan that let the folk flow over on dry land. It was Elijah and Elisha at the Jordan where miracles took place. If he only understood the Jordan, then he would have seen more than mud and more than dirt. He would have seen that's the place where God shows off. But see, if you don't know where God shows up, you're going to bring your edumacation. You're going to bring what your professors say and think. You're going to bring what the world's perspective is. Well, if it was that good, you wouldn't be incurable. It would have been dealt with a long time ago. Now, God lets us be in situations that no man can fix so that you got to deal with him on his terms. And the scripture makes it plain, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. So when you come to me, I'm going to give you stuff you will not prefer. Because we don't think alike. We're on two different wavelengths. So don't bring me your thoughts when you have my word. You go to the doctor because Walgreens couldn't fix it. CVS on across the counter couldn't change it. So how you gonna come to the doctor discussing your Walgreens ideas? Because if it could have been fixed, you would have fixed it. Do not let your education, knowledge, and experience dictate the terms of your deliverance. You don't get to dictate the terms of your deliverance. God has to dictate that, even when it sounds a little messy. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to man. There's a way that looks like it should work. The end thereof is death. So if you go by man's way when it contradicts God's way, he says you're on your way to death, to separation, to not experiencing what you're asking for. He said, Jordan's too dirty. Let me tell you something. It's a bad idea to stay outside the ark just because dirty animals are going in it. It's a bad idea when them nasty animals, two by two, are coming out. I ain't going in that ark. It's going to be stinky in there, animals in there, all that refuse in there. I ain't going in that. Okay, you're going to die. So his servant comes to him and says, verse 13, my father, had the prophet told you to do some great thing, give him another million, give him this, give him that, would you not have done it? How much more than when he says, go wash and be clean? If he'd have given you something hard, you'd have gladly gone and done it. He'd give you something easy. And now you're going to fuss and cuss and get mad at the prophet, get mad at the church. You're just going to get mad because they didn't tell you what you wanted to hear. That's not the question. The question is, was what they told you God's word and God's will? That's the only question. So, verse 14, he went down and dipped himself seven times in the Jordan. Watch this. According to the word of the man of God. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child. And he was clean. Don't let your dignity keep you from solving your problem. Jordan and dip seven times. How embarrassing. I got a cap on the army, got to take off my clothes out here, this dirty water, and I got to, yeah, going down one time. Nothing happened. Twice. Nothing happened. Still got scars and lesions and all that. Three times, four times, five times, six times. Seven is the biblical number of completion. You don't get delivered because you obey God partially. See, a lot of folk want to obey to some degree and wonder why nothing has happened yet, because you have, the scripture says, not finished your obedience. See, you must obey completely seven times. You must obey to the fullness of what God asked for. Abraham, don't just wake Isaac up. Don't just get him dressed. Don't let him lead him to the mountain. Don't just lead him up the mountain. Don't just tie him on the wood. No, I will not show you what I'm about to do till you pick up the knife and completely obey me. Partial obedience will not bring full deliverance. In fact, it may bring no deliverance, because he was not delivered until after that seventh time. He had to complete what God was asking him to do. A lot of times people get mad. They say, I tried. I did what God said. But when you dig down deep enough, they did a part of what God said. They obeyed him enough to feel better about it. But they did not go all the way and complete what he had asked them to do. Until obedience has been completed, you cannot expect a supernatural incursion into your circumstances to calm it, correct it, and reverse it to whatever level the sovereign will of God will allow for. What you and I must do is stop arguing with God's word. I need to say that again. You and I must stop arguing with God's word. His word is final. It is settled in heaven. And sometimes you won't like it. And sometimes you won't understand it. In fact, if you can read your doctor's prescription, he's not a real doctor. If when he writes his prescription, you read it, you understand it, you interpret it, you know what it's all about, he ain't real. Because a real doctor, you don't know what they wrote on that paper. But even though you can't fully read it, even though you don't fully understand it, you go to the pharmacist, you fulfill it, and you take it because you trust the one who gave it. We say, well, I don't understand, so I'm not going to do anything. So you stay sick. Because even though you may not understand God's prescription, it's his prescription. And he knows what's really wrong. But until you take the medicine, not take the prescription, hear the sermon. No, you must take the medicine, that is full obedience, to see the supernatural into the natural to cure that which appears to be and actually functions as that which is incurable in your life. What is your leprosy? I want to tell you now, related to whatever deliverance God is going to give you for that thing that will not go away, that until you adopt, we adopt radical obedience, that's obedience to the end, even to the point of rejecting our own perspective or that of our friends, you'll not see God. You'll talk about him. You'll sing songs to him. You'll worship him, but you won't see him. You won't see this power that the Bible talks about, this victory that the Bible talks about, because God's got to see faith, and faith is demonstrated by the walk, by the thing you do, not the thing you think, feel, or say. When a person gets stuck in quicksand, they go to what is natural to them. When you None of us probably have been in quicksand, but you've seen movies where people are in quicksand and they go to what's natural. And what's natural is to flail your arms to try to get yourself out of this thing that's sucking you up. Well, the reason quicksand sucks you up is that it is sand mixed with water. When sand gets mixed with water, it removes the friction of sand being on sand. So since sand is no longer on sand, but now sand has been mixed with water, the friction of sand being with sand is no longer there. So the more you try to get out of it, the more it's sucking you under. The harder you try to get out of it, the harder it's sucking you under, because you don't have anything with enough friction to push you against it. So when you push against it, the water is just, with the sand, is just drawing you down. But you're doing what's natural. If you get caught in quicksand, you have to do what is unnatural. You have to go against your natural inclination to fight to get out. And you must relax, which slows down the process of you being pulled down, which gives you time to paddle, not fight. And when you rest and paddle, which is against your natural inclination, you find out deliverance is possible. You go to what you naturally think is right, and you are aiding and abetting your demise. That's how it is with God. Sometimes when God wants to do something, you have to go against your natural inclination. What is natural to your mind, your will, your desires, your goal, because you want to be delivered. Well, he goes down. And when he goes down, it says, his flesh, verse 14, became like the flesh of a little child. Whoa. Okay, don't read that too fast. Wait a minute. He came to be delivered. He came up the seventh time. Not only was he delivered, but God took him all the way back to babyhood. He got delivered and restored. God reversed that thing. It took him, this is a grown man, and it took him to the day he came out of his mother's womb as a child or an infant. God is so powerful. Not only can he cure what's been a problem for years, he can take you back before it was a problem at all. That's called exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think. It says, he's saying, heal me. God says, I'm going to make you like a little baby. He was healed physically, but he was also healed spiritually. How do I know that? The middle of verse 15, because he says, but now I know there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Oh, now I know. Okay, my man had changed his statement. A few verses earlier, he said, I hope that his God would deliver me. But now, Elijah's God has become Naaman's God. Why does God leave you in an incurable situation, leave me in an incurable situation, leave us in an incurable situation, so we can get around to finding out who God really is? He doesn't just want to be your buddy. He just doesn't want to be just another guy. He wants to show you, when he shows out and shows off, he's in a class all by himself. Now I know that there is no other God except the God of Israel. Psalm 103 verses 2 and 3 says, he forgives our sins and he heals our diseases. He claimed God was the only God, but look at something else he does as we come to an end, verse 17. If not, please let your servant at least be given 2 mules for Sister Sarah. No, excuse me, 2 mules load of earth. Clint Eastwood fans understood that. 2 mules load of earth. For your servant will no longer offer burnt offerings, nor will he sacrifice to other gods, but to the Lord. Ooh. He said, watch this. The dirt I didn't want to go down in, Jordan, I want two loads of it and two mules. Because I'm carrying this dirt back with me. Because on this dirt, I'm going to build me an altar so I can worship the only true God. I'm taking my blessing with me. Everywhere I go, I'm going to make a pile of dirt. I'm going to set up my altar and I'm going to worship God. Because guess what? When God delivers you like this, when he takes away your leprosy, when he reverses something that's been messing with you for days, months, years, and decades, and you come to see this is no joke. God is no joke. He can meet you in your deepest hole, reverse you back to a baby status. You're going to want that God every place else you go. So if you got a leprosy situation, something that won't go away. And there's another verse I want to mention in closing. Luke 4:27 says, there were many lepers in Israel. This is in the New Testament. Jesus is talking. Luke 4:27, he says, there were many lepers in Israel, but God healed none of them except Naaman. Now that's in the New Testament. Jesus is talking. He said there were many folk like Naaman in Israel, but none of those folk in Israel who are my people got healed from their leprosy except a foreigner named Naaman, because he's not a Jew. What's he saying? You can be part of the people of God and never see God work. You can come to church every week. You can be an Israelite and a leper and live the rest of your life as a leper because you refuse to do what a foreigner did. A foreigner bleeds God, tell the end, got a miracle. The folk in church worship God, got nothing. Because of their unbelief. We have in our community a lot of places that clean things. We have cleaners that cleans clothes. We have car washes. It cleans cars. We've got hair salon. It cleans messed up hair. We've got nail salons. It cleans messed up nails and cuticles. People go into those places because something dirty and messed up needs to be corrected and cleansed. That's why they go in there. And when they come out, something is different. You go pick up your clothes and the cleaners has cleaned them. You come out of the hair salon and the hair is now clean and it's been shaped and straightened or curled or whatever y'all do. The hair is all right now. You take your car to the car wash. You drive it to the car wash. It comes out different than it came in. You go to the nail salon with dirty nails, the nails come out, the nails have been cleaned, they've been shaped, they've been colored. You know, you come out different than you went in. Now, the reason why you come out different than when you went in is when you went in, you did exactly what they asked you to do. The cleaner said, give me the clothes and turn it over to me. You turn it over to them. Then you back clean clothes. You hook the car up. You drive it up to the place they tell you. They hook it up. You go and you wait. You do what they tell you to do. Comes out clean. You put your nails over here. You do what they tell you to do and you come out different. But in the church, folk come into the church dirty, hear from God what to do, and leave the same way they came in because they refused to do what the instruction manual demanded. So if you want to see God in your situation, you're going to have to put down your pride, put down your notoriety, You can't be like the guy who used to come to our church. He was well known in the community, very wealthy. He came to the church, joined the church. He said, I want to meet with you. He wanted to meet with me. I said, yes, when we met. He said, I want to be a leader. I said, excuse me? He said, I want to be a leader. Well, I said, okay, well, there's a process you have to go through. We want to see you faithful in ministry. He said, I don't need to do all that. He said, you know, do you know who I am? I said, I know who you are. He said, yeah, and a lot of churches. They shouldn't hit me with that line. A lot of churches would be happy to have me in their leadership. I told him, well, I'll give you directions to one of them. Which one you want? What he was trying to do was use Naaman's money, clout, and power to buy position. That's not how it happens in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, you got to go low in spite of your notoriety, degrees, money, position, and power. You got to humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. But when we do, to completion, what God has said do, you've opened yourself up to a Jordan experience, even in a dirty place. And by the way, the greatest miracle of all is when you dip yourself in the blood of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins and the gift of eternal life.